Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Extra time.
Hello and welcome back to the Extra Time podcast. It's me, Patrick Van Straten, your host as always. And this week, I'm joined by two special guests. It's Mike Atkins. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Patrick. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm really impressed by your beard, but we'll move on to that shortly.
Cool.
And Chris Hamill, how are you, Chris?
Rattled because Mike is being so nonchalant about that beautiful beard and I can do nothing except grow this slug on my lip.
But you're growing out your hair, aren't you?
Yeah, I've grown it out on top a little bit. That's been like my, the thing I've changed post-lockdown.
Amazing. And Mike, like this is just a pure laziness beard, is it?
This is a pure laziness beard. I did... All through lockdown, I did the opposite and just grew out my hair. And now the hair's gone. I'm just less inclined to keep groomed, I guess. So
shave it.
It's just been growing. Yeah,
shave your head. You look like a nutcase.
So the beard is coming on nicely. I don't really grow my beard because it comes out a bit ginger. But you two seem impressed by it, so maybe I'll keep it.
I mean, it's a lovely shade of red, and I'm in no position to judge because my beard comes out ginger as well, but I don't think it reaches quite such a pitch of gingerness as yours does.
Yeah, I mean that's why when you see me in the office, I don't usually have a beard. I just don't want to be lumped in with Joe. That's what it is, really.
Yeah, Joe and George is not necessarily a good team to be on in our office. But obviously today we've got to talk about the Champions League final. It just happened last night. We're recording this on the Monday morning afterwards, and Bayern ran out winners 1-0 over PSG to secure their sixth Champions League / European Cup, putting them level with Liverpool behind only AC Milan and Real Madrid. The goal came from Kingsley Coman, formerly of PSG's academy, nodded in a Kimmich cross at the far post in the second half, and PSG was simply unable to make the breakthrough, huffed and puffed. But to be honest, the harder they tried, the less they created, I felt. Chris, how did you feel about the game? Did you feel it was a fair result in the end? Did anything surprise you? What's there that's remarkable about this game? Because looking at the scoreline, I think the scoreline looks duller than the game was.
Yeah, for sure. I was really surprised to hear, you know, particularly the commentary team complain about the sort of lack of goals or lack of action in the first half, because after 45 minutes, it could have been 2-2. There were some really high quality chances in there. And that save from Neuer in particular, from Neymar, I don't think gets enough credit. Neymar did everything right in that situation. Hit it low, hard, was even there for the follow-up. And unfortunately, that just cannoned off a defender too. And sometimes, you know, your luck isn't in. And I'm not saying this game was necessarily determined by luck. I don't think it was. I think the better side won in the end. But it was very evenly contested up until 45. I don't quite know what happened to PSG after the break, but I was really impressed by the caliber and quality throughout. It was really interesting in the first 45, Bayern's sort of tendency, and I don't know if this is something they've deployed, you know, religiously under Flick, but Bayern's tendency to sort of overload the left hand side while Joshua Kimmich tucks in on the right, and there was sort of this rotation, this really interesting rotation going on down the right hand side. Davies overlapping Coman on the left, a little bit more simple, but on the right it was either Kimmich inside or Müller inside or Gnabry, you know, feeding the ball in from the right. There's a bit of a carousel on that right hand side, and I think it caused PSG a lot of problems. You look at Muller's heat map, actually. He spends barely any time in the box apart from that delicious touch for who's it, Kimmich, to put the ball into Koeman. So there were a couple of things that I noticed quite early on. But I do think, yeah, it was a fair result in the end. What about you, boys?
Yeah, Mike, what's your opinion on that? Because when you look at the stats, except for possession, where I think Bayern had nearly two thirds, it looks pretty even. PSG 10 shots, Bayern 12. I think XG is like 1.1 apiece. Yeah. And I thought the biggest chance of the night was probably Mbappe's at the end of the first half.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very... KG isn't exactly the word I would use, but I sort of see what the commentators are saying about KG, because it's obviously a game neither team wants to lose because it's the Champions League final. But what I feel about the game is that with PSG anyway, they just weren't fit. They hadn't really been challenged in like the quarterfinals. Well, the quarterfinals said the Atalanta game, but the semifinals was relatively straightforward. And then like Mbappe wasn't fit. Neymar didn't seem 100%. Di Maria was seeming to do most of the legwork, and he's not as good as he is. Arguably second, third best player in the Champions League this season. I don't think anybody got more assists than him in the Champions League this season. Di Maria is not on the same level as Neymar and Mbappe. And I think PSG's night was summed up. There was that Mbappe chance. It might well have been the one just before half time where he seemed to be 1-on-1, 8 yards out. And he just had like, he just sort of split the defence. Like got the ball back, split the defence, and he sort of kicked it into his own foot and it just rolled towards Neuer. But having said that, I felt Neuer was absolutely outstanding last night. Some of the saves he was making. I know we go on about him at Football Daily as being, you know, maybe a little bit past it. He's not the keeper he was 5-6 years ago, which he isn't in terms of the whole package. He's not as good with the ball at his feet anymore, coming out of the air as like the sweeper keeper we know him to be. But some of the saves he was making last night were outstanding, and I'd argue he's, in that sense at least, he's as good as he's ever been, you know, just as a pure goalkeeper. Like, there was that one from Neymar early on where Neymar dribbled past a few, got the shot in, and it was well saved. And then Neymar tried cutting it back to Mbappe, I think, in the middle. And it's just the way Neuer left his foot out. Like, you can see it was a conscious decision to leave his foot out, and that knocked the ball behind for a corner. And even though that wasn't a shot, you can still see how good and how in tune he is as a goalkeeper, if that makes sense.
Mm. Well, yeah, and similarly, the save from the offside Mbappe shot.
Yeah.
I loved after that he left his arms out as if to say, not tonight, lads, not tonight.
Yeah,
though actually it was a game that had relatively few shots on target. There were only 5 shots on target in the whole game between both sides. But I do think it was interesting that PSG really struggled to get the ball forward except when there was like a defensive breakdown or a quick transition. I was looking at the passes into the final third by side, and Paredes was top of the PSG squad for passes into the final third with 2.
Mm.
Whereas for Bayern, Thiago had 11, Alaba and Goretzka both had 6, and Kimmich and Zula both had 5. So I feel like that gives you a real indication of how Bayern would settle possession and then move the ball forward, whereas PSG really were just hoping that those fullbacks would push up further and further and further and allow them to run in behind, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Bayern's midfield is much more kind of progressive in that sense, I guess, isn't it? Herrera, Marquinhos, a bit more combative. That might be doing Herrera a disservice because he's not always been the house midfielder that people were come to associate him as. I think Thilo Kehrer actually did okay at right back. If we're just going to touch upon the subject of fullbacks, Bernat has been their most advanced, one of their most advanced defenders in this tournament, I guess, hasn't he? He often joins in with attacks down that left-hand side. If sort of Marquinhos sits in, sometimes makes it a back three or whatever. There was a bit of a difference when Verratti came on. I think if he'd started that game, maybe he'd have got, you know, close to Thiago in terms of completed balls into the final third, because he is very, very good at that, isn't he? And they did miss him in that sense. As good as Paredes has been since coming on against Atalanta, he was very influential against Leipzig, and it sounded him out on a piece of content we did for Euro Football Daily as sort of the man of the match in that game. I just think I love that Joshua Kimmich underlaps, Davies overlaps, and they were just... like a really interesting pattern formed where Kingsley Coman was getting to the back post, which is not something you really associate with Coman, is it? Like that's kind of Perisic was, it was a surprise Perisic being dropped for Coman in the first place, because I thought Perisic had been very good in the tournament in the latter stages. That was a clear indication to me that Hansi Flick thought, okay, let's play a little bit on more on the counter, play with more speed. Maybe we'll catch them in the transition sort of thing, which is probably smart from the off. But Bayern's line as well. They could have been caught cold at the end. They were like 1-0 up and there was like 3-on-3 on like two or three occasions. So it was really fun. It got a little bit spicier towards the end as well. When Verratti came on, but as much as I kind of wanted PSG to win before, you know, being a state-run club aside, just great to see, you know, club claim their first claim their first Champions League when it's a new club, because this tournament's felt very samey in times gone by. I actually thought, okay, Bayern and this crop of players who were assembled for about €110 million, by the way, they thoroughly deserve it. So I felt good. I felt good about it, but that might have been, you know, the 8 pints of ale I also had.
I feel like...
Well, I think...
I feel like it's one of those games where I didn't particularly mind who won. I mean, people obviously will have their favourites, and people are always anti-PSG because of the sort of Qatari money and all of that. But it's one of those games where I felt like whichever team won, they would have both been deserved winners of the trophy. Because PSG have been sort of... Well, as they are, I mean, PSG are a team built to win the Champions League as opposed to the French League. And hopefully now more people in the footballing world will take them a little bit more seriously, that they've actually got to a Champions League final. I mean, okay, it's been, you know, obviously unprecedented times and all that, but they're still, you know, a really, really good side. And considering the holes they're perceived to have, they don't really seem to affect them too much. And then as for Bayern, I mean, they're arguably the most exciting side in football since you'd probably say the height of Barcelona, sort of like the tiki-taka stuff around a decade ago. You'd probably say this Bayern side is the best team since then. I mean, they've drawn one game since Christmas and they've won the rest, which is mental. It's absolutely
they're
absolutely
scoring
mental.
Like 3 goals a game.
Yeah,
that's
something
ridiculous.
Like 100 and...
I do feel a bit sad, though, that we were denied the opportunity to see them play like a full-strength Liverpool or a full-strength Man City.
Mate, I think Liverpool would probably have not wiped the floor with them, but I think at times when I saw how high that Bayern line was, in my head I was thinking Liverpool would smash them here on the counter.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, when you think about the way that they played against Lyon, I find it incredibly hard to imagine that if they'd given those chances to Man City's wingers or to Liverpool's wingers, that they would have come out of it with a clean sheet. Like, I'm not saying that the thing is, their attack is so good that they are able to dig themselves out of holes. But I do think they, even in this game, you know, again, they got lucky with some of the chances that PSG missed. And this was a better defensive performance, I think, than they put in against Lyon. And actually, than they put in against Barcelona as well.
Yeah, especially with Boateng going off early as well, right?
But it was an interesting game for the stars, right? Because going into this match, it was billed as a matchup between Neymar, arguably the most talented player in the Champions League after Messi went out, Mbappe, who's clearly going to be one of the defining players in football over the next 10 years, and Lewandowski, who has had a true season for the ages. But Mike, they were ultimately, I think all three were slightly disappointing.
I mean, yeah. I mean, what was it? Lewandowski was on, what, 20 goal contributions coming into this? 15 goals and 5 assists in 9 games, which is ridiculous. And Neymar is also, I can't remember what his exact stats were, but sort of 3 goals, 4 assists, something like that. Mbappe, 5 goals, 5 assists. And neither of them had played extensively in the Champions League. But I feel like Mbappe wasn't fully fit. Neymar, to an extent, relies on Mbappe a little bit. Neymar and Mbappe complement each other's games really, really well, which is why I think they're sort of so exciting to watch when they're both on the pitch. And I mean, PSG's defence just coped really well with Lewandowski. I mean, have you heard the theory that a perfect game of football will always end 0-0?
What, where
if every team plays exactly how they want to play and every player executes perfectly, it will always be 0-0. And that's, in a way, what this game was Yeah, because if the goalkeeper makes all the saves, if the defence are always in the right positions, then the attackers won't have the lanes to run into. In some senses, that's what this game was like, that they're so well-drilled and they were clearly the two best teams in the Champions League. It's like when, and I don't know what the saying is, when an immovable force hits an unstoppable object or whatever it is, it's one of those where they just sort of bounced off each other at such a rate that it was only going to take that one moment to seal the game, which it did, which was, by the way, an absolutely fantastic ball from Kimmich. It's one of those balls where when I'm playing seven aside and I get the ball in that position, that's what I always want to do and I can never do it. And he just makes it look so easy. The way it just sort of whips and it sort of goes straight up and then dips straight back down perfectly onto Coman's head I think I like the assist more than the actual goal in that sense. But, I mean, as for the stars, I mean, they always go missing a little bit, don't they? It's just a shame that none of them really lived up to the expectation, at least on the score sheet, that we'd expected from them for the rest of the season.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
I think it's fair to say that of the three, Neymar is getting the most criticism today. Chris, do you think that's fair? And why do you think it was that he wasn't able to kind of assert himself on the match?
I think it's just because he's the most unlikable, right? I don't know if that has any... his performance has any great bearing on who people choose to kind of pick on after the game. I mean, he did concede a lot of possession. 47% of his touches ended with him losing possession. But that is his modus operandi, isn't it? That's what they bought him for, to run at people, to be high risk on the ball. And he still completed his sort of customary four dribbles. He put in a lot of defensive work, actually, in terms of pressing as well. I think it was a game-high 38 pressures. And there might have been an element, Mike's already touched upon it, of them having not played together enough, in the last 2 or 3 months, although they've still been great in the knockout stages. But against Leipzig, Paredes' progressive passing was excellent. That might have been something that Hansi Flick looked at and sought to sort of kill off. And you read, out those great numbers earlier, he only completed, was it two passes into, was the opposition's area or the...
Into the final third.
Into the final third. I mean, that's even more surprising given how high he pressed as well on occasion against Leipzig. So I guess from that sense, Goretzka and Thiago kind of... They just used the space really well, didn't they? And kind of strangled those areas that Neymar likes to run into. And if it's not going to work its way to Neymar, then Mbappe will probably find himself a little bit isolated. I think... does Neymar deserve... I'd like to have seen a couple more efforts, a couple more shots. Like, for PSG, the player who was best at working into the box was probably Angel Di Maria. Like that lovely reverse ball. I think it was to Marquinhos, who had like a stabbed effort that went out for a corner. I thought that was a moment of genius. I think Di Maria he's been unreal this term. And I thought it's sad to see him come off after 80, to be honest.
I thought he had a good game, Di Maria. I mean, also, straight after Davis got booked, he absolutely destroyed Davis with a dribble, nutmegged him and went past him. And I thought, this is the sensible thing to do. Like, he's seen that this guy is booked and is 19 and he's taking him on. And he got the ball into the box a couple of times down there. And I thought, right, this is great. But in a way, I thought Bayern's tactic with Neymar was clearly tactical fouling, which I don't really have an issue with. But I looked at it, and across the Bundesliga season, Bayern were averaging 9.5 fouls committed per game. 9.5. In this game, they committed 22. And six of those were against Neymar. So by the second half, you just saw him, like, he was losing it because he was just getting hacked down all over the place. And I don't know. I don't know what you guys think, but to me, it was strange that they didn't try and play with more of a centre forward here, because it constantly felt like whenever the ball went long, when they couldn't play through the midfield and they had to go long, there was nobody who could make it stick up there, because, you know, Mbappe and Neymar are guys who want to run with the ball. They're not guys who want to play with their back to goal.
Yeah, but who would have done that job? I mean, obviously, the one that seems obvious, I guess, is Choupo-Moting, but he's never really seemed like that sort of player.
Well, Icardi feasibly could.
Feasibly. Do you know who would have been really good for PSG to have had for this? Would have been Cavani. If they had Cavani for this game, and he was able to play that centre forward role with Neymar and Mbappe either side of him and sort of hold it up. I mean, obviously there's all the controversies about, like, Cavani and Neymar's relationship and all of that. But ultimately, they're professionals, and if they were on the pitch together, I'm sure Cavani would have done exactly what was expected of him, to almost take that backseat role to help the others thrive and not sort of take on some of the burden himself. But I think at the end of the day, they didn't have anybody to do that role for them. And you could argue that I reckon Mbappe would be quite good in that role, but if he's not fit and he's also the one that you want to be running onto his own flick-ons, it's just not going to work. What you're saying makes sense, but they just couldn't do it. they had no one there to do it for them.
What do you think, Chris? Was there any kind of tool that Thomas Tuchel could have used in this game that he left unexploited?
I think in an ideal world, Verratti would have been fit, right? I think Herrera played very well, actually. A couple of absolutely delightful balls into the box that were, you know, we should probably give him a little bit more praise for. I mean, if Verratti's there, there's maybe not a need to make it, you know, have a centre forward to make it stick as much, because he's just a very adept passer, isn't he? And the Neymar, yeah. Cavani can be the focal point. I guess Neymar gives him a little bit more license to drop that bit deeper. I think maybe he felt compelled to stay with Mbappe, or, you know, make sure Mbappe wasn't too far away. When we know that Neymar, sometimes if he's frustrated or if he's not having the best game, he likes to drop deep, doesn't he? Have a few touches on the ball and sort of set things in motion. He probably wasn't able to do that because he was playing as that, you know, nine or false nine. But it's difficult. Like Mike said, it's really fine margins, isn't it? And yeah, PSG's squad, not all that deep. I'm having a look at the bench now. Diallo, Idrissa Gueye, Sarabia. Maybe, I mean, Sarabia's been pretty good when he's come on, hasn't he? But it'd be a brave manager to kind of to drop Di Maria or haul Di Maria off early doors for Sarabia or start Choupo-Moting. So I think Thomas Tuchel can probably make peace with the fact they've lost to this Bayern side.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I think the question of quite how good this Bayern side is, like, Mike, you were obviously saying before that it's arguably the most exciting team since peak Barcelona, completing their second treble in 7 years. Alaba, Müller, Neuer, Boateng, Javi Martinez all survive from that 2012-13 treble winning side. Chris, where do you think that this side ranks in the best teams of the last 10 years?
Yeah, top three. I think, like, Man City and Barcelona probably play a more enjoyable brand of football. And if they lose Thiago, who's kind of been the fulcrum in their side this year, I think that's been one of the biggest departures from Kovac's Bayern. There's kind of been a resurgence of possession-based football at Bayern under Flick. Obviously, Thomas Müller as well has been absolutely incredible. Had a season for the ages.
Yeah.
I'd go top three. That's pretty non-committal answer, but But they, and you know what? They've moved so smartly in the transfer market in the last 10 years that I kind of do back them to replace Thiago and Boateng and kind of just continue dominating. Not necessarily in Europe, but this team is a combination of youth and experience, isn't it? They've bought really well, and you think, oh, they're adding Leroy Sané to this. Like, where does he even fit in now? Where does he even play with Koeman and Gnabry playing so well?
It's, in a way, it's a little bit of a difficult question to answer how good a team is when they've only just kind of emerged, because I can remember games this season, including last night, where I've seen this Bayern team get lucky. Whereas now, it's a long time ago for me to try and remember, you know, the 2012-13 Bayern team getting lucky, or even the 17-18 Man City, or certainly the 10-11 Barcelona. So I think, in that sense, it's kind of hard to know until we're a couple of years down the road, I suppose. But in the Champions League this year, 43 goals scored in 11 games. That is a record in goals per game in the Champions League. Only 8 conceded. Mm-hmm. And next year, Mike, Leroy Sané being added to their front line. I mean, it's hard to imagine them not being able to defend this title.
I don't know.
Right?
This was where can Bayern Munich go from here? I mean, there's nowhere to go, is there? They just sort of stay there. And Leroy Sané, you'd probably argue coming in on reputation alone will be their best winger. He'd be ahead of Coman. Coman, who, by the way, 9 years he's been professional, he's won a league title in every single one of those seasons, which is mental.
Which, 20 trophies at 24.
Yeah, like, that's, no wonder he's sort of talking stinking of retirement sort of last year or whatever it was, when he's already won everything there is to win. But there's, I mean, what do you want me to say? they're just going to, you can't see them slowing down. I wonder slightly if we're going to be talking about Hansi Flick in a couple of years, sort of upon them winning this, and you're sort of talking a little bit about luck, and nobody really knew what Flick was going to be like when he came in, is I can sort of draw a line between Hansi Flick and Zinedine Zidane. In that Zidane came in sort of mid-season as just sort of this is a guy we know, he's in the B team.
There, yeah.
We're going to bring him up to the A team, or I think Flick was like the assistant manager or whatever, but sort of get him in there, he knows the players, he'll just let them play. And then 3 years down the line with Zidane, we're saying, you know what, Zidane might actually be the real deal, he might actually be a really good manager. And maybe in 2-3 years, when Flick's won 2 more Bundesligas, 2 more German Cups, you know, got to a final of another Champions League, we'll be still saying the same things about Flick, that actually he might genuinely be a really good manager that has just been fortunate enough to be in the position where he was at the time to take on the Bayern Munich job. Like, if Kovac had lasted to the end of this season, there's no way Flick's getting the job next year. Like, if you... Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they say timing's everything in football, don't they? And I see what you're saying. Kovac was not unlucky to be fired, because, you know, I think the Bayern-born thought they'd identified something that was a little bit more endemic, but their numbers were better than their performances suggested. So I get what you're saying. He theoretically could have kept his job, and then Hansi Flick isn't there just to tinker with a few pieces. I mean, he got such a big response out of Müller this season, didn't he? And you do kind of think, if you're going to be a little bit more pessimistic, which, you know, let's do that for the sakes of balance. Like, is he going to get 20 assists out of Müller again next season? Or if Thiago leaves, you know, do we back him? Does he have an eye for talent like, you know, previous managers may have? I'm talking like, you know, Pep Guardiola. I mean, Jupp Heynckes, I don't necessarily know his record in the transfer market, but he was an unbelievable coach, wasn't he? So I think there's a lot more questions are going to be asked of him moving forward. But I've kind of been judging, when we discuss these hypotheticals, like, I just kind of do it on a season-by-season basis. And, yeah, this is in the top 5 seasons. But that's not to say that, you know, I think Flick is going to... is qualified to build a dynasty or anything. But maybe Jadon Sancho staying at Dortmund will could decide where the league title goes next campaign. Who knows?
Oh, well, I'm kind of looking forward to when this Bayern team hits a run of bad results, just so that we kind of start to get a sense of, you know, the sort of guy Flick is. Because at the moment, even the people who are saying, oh, he's brilliant, like, what an incredible job he's done, I haven't quite heard anyone give a full account of what it is that he's done, except kind of energize the team and get them playing together again. And don't get me wrong, that's important. But Lewandowski, Müller, these guys aren't going to last forever at their current quality level. But you know, I know we've said that for a while, but they are in their 30s, and Manuel Neuer is 34.
But it's interesting what you just said as well, because this has happened before, hasn't it? Like when Heynckes has had to come back in, and he sort of, you know, you wonder how much of the slump in form under Kovac was owing to him trying to change the ethos or philosophy. James Rodriguez was very public in his disliking of Kovac. And it's sort of like sometimes when a manager comes in and gives the Bayern players what they want, which is a large say probably in how things are run in the day-to-day, they're professional, so like positive results ensue. So it is going to be interesting if, like, exactly what you said, if they don't have it their own way, will they kind of stick by him? Maybe not stick by him, but yeah, how will he ride that out? Or we've yet to see Hansi Flick. Yeah, I guess have to overhaul a side. But will he have to do that moving forward? Do you think there's much surgery needed for this team in the next couple of years?
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
I think there's probably... Yeah, I think there are some key positions that are going to need to be changed around. Like, they... Even if Lewandowski lasts another 2 years, like, that's not that long, really. Mm. And, you know, Coutinho leaves. Suddenly, you don't have that option off the bench. And then I think the attacking options off the bench start to look a little bit thin. You know, like, you don't want Perisic there long term. And Müller, 21 assists in the league, wasn't it, this season? Like, you're getting that again is a tall order from anyone. I mean, Messi's done it. Like, De Bruyne only got 20. Like, it's gonna be hard to replicate that from anyone. Yeah. So I do think those are, like, quite key positions. It's very hard to say. They can probably get enough to win the Bundesliga, but those are the things that make a difference in the Champions League, I think. And as we've seen in the past, winning the Bundesliga relentlessly is just not enough for Bayern. So we'll see how long the goodwill from this particular Champions League win can kind of keep him in the job if other things don't go to plan. On the other hand, PSG, how do we see PSG moving forward? Like, Chris, what do you think PSG need to do? Is this going to start a trend of them getting to the latter stages of the Champions League? Or do you think that maybe we get another year and then Mbappe leaves? Or what do you think is going to happen with them?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens next with them, isn't it? Because they've got 2 years left on the contract, both of them. So maybe another year of seeing them together before PSG have to sell them to sort of turn some money on them and adhere to FFP, if FFP is still a thing, after Man City blew it up. But I think Tuchel has made PSG infinitely more likable. I'd like to see... I'd be a bit more bullish on them if he commits his long-term future to the club. If he feels confident now that the board back him to sort of instill his ethos and you know, this project... is allowed to run on a little bit further, because I think some power has been wrestled from the stars, and you do see a hard-working PSG out there. And the general age is pretty good, isn't it? Thiago Silva leaving at 35, although I think Tuchel said he can stay if he wants. That wasn't a decision made on age or profile or whatever. Kimpembe, Diallo, Tilo Kehrer. They might need a new left back. You know, Bernat's perfectly serviceable, but Kazawa's probably off, right?
I think Kazawa might have been given a new deal.
Oh, really? I thought. But, what happened to to him being linked with Arsenal and Spurs?
I don't think anyone actually wanted him. I think he just wanted a new deal with PSG, and I think they might have extended him, but I'd have to check.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, they've got some guys that will keep them like ticking over to even while those young guys find their feet, or any potential new signings sort of find their feet. Draxler should probably go at this point. Who else is there? Icardi, like, brilliant. What an acquisition he's been. I think going at like 0.7 expected goals per 90. So yeah, I would like to see Tuchel commit, and then I'd be a bit more confident. But you know what? If he, in a year's time, he decides that's enough, he'd like to go somewhere else, and Neymar and Mbappe do that at the same time, then all of a sudden, it's kind of like project restart, isn't it?
Mm. What about you, Mike? Can you see PSG winning the Champions League in the next few years?
Yeah, but I feel like I've been saying that for 2 or 3 years since all of the money came in. I mean, I don't think it's... I mean, I wrote the script last week for 10 best players in the Champions League, which I saw you were getting a lot of flack. People thought you wrote that, Patrick, which was quite funny to read in the comments. But I feel... I wrote in that script that this is the first time Neymar's been fit this deep into the season for PSG, and they got to the final. And I don't think that's a... Well, it's obviously not a coincidence that, you know, Neymar played in the second round games and in the quarterfinal games, and, you know, look how far PSG got.
And he sat out previous games when they lost, right? Like Man United.
Yeah, he was injured or Barcelona. Conveniently suspended when it was like the carnival in Rio or his sister's birthday or something like that. I think
who was the other knockout tie against? Sorry, Man United and who?
Real Madrid,
not Boston.
Yeah, yeah, so I feel like if they can keep the problem for PSG is that they play in France. If this PSG team played in the Bundesliga or in the Premier League, then it would be easier to keep Neymar there. It'd be easier to keep Mbappe there, Di Maria, anybody else. But I mean, people have their own opinions of the French league, which I think are a little bit harsh, but you can sort of see where they're coming from, that the rest of the league isn't there. It's not a challenge to them, whereas they would be more challenged in different leagues, which could turn their head. But if they can keep the team together, I don't see why they couldn't get to the final or win it again. I mean, I'd argue against any other side in the Champions League this season. Any other side gets to the final, PSG would have beaten them. It's just so happened they came up against the one team that seems to have forgotten how to lose.
Well, there you go. I mean, I do think they do seem to have forgotten how to lose at this point. But everyone's going to have a good go at testing that theory next season. So that's the end of the 2019-20 campaign, at least in men's football. The Women's Champions League is still flying on. Guys, what are you looking for next campaign? Is there anything exciting to look forward to as a West Ham fan, Mike Atkins?
No, not really.
I like it. I like your honesty.
I'm just looking for a campaign where we don't have to look over our shoulder. It sounds boring and a bit dull, but just give me a season where we finish 12th and reach the quarterfinals of the FA Cup, and I'll be happy. If we can just get through a season unscathed, no controversy, no sort of splashing £50 million on a striker who then scores 6 goals. You know, nothing. As long as there's nothing controversial.
Aspiring for mediocrity.
Yeah, I would happily take a Crystal Palace type season next year.
Do you think David Moyes can progress this side? A West Ham fan told me that when he was out of football, he studied RB Leipzig, or at least the Red Bull group. I don't know if it was Salzburg, which surprised me massively. Like, can, you know, well, what's it? What's the saying? Can an old dog learn new tricks?
I don't know. You can probably tell by the way I'm sort of stammering. In my opinion on David Moyes, I still don't know what it is. I'll take an uneventful season where things just go smoothly. But I feel like I've heard good things. The players seem to love him, which is always a good thing. But then he doesn't play exciting football. But then when we have tried playing exciting football in the past, you know, we've ended up 17th and looking over our shoulder. So, you know, as I say, I'll take an uneventful season where everything goes smoothly. If we can just use this season as like a base point, if you know what I mean. Just like a season,
a platform, a
season where nothing goes wrong. We can show that we can actually be run okay, that we can make good investments, and then sort of just take it from there. Because everybody's been linked with a move away from West
good
Ham.
Good luck.
And no one's been linked with a move to West Ham. And it's just like, it's just not fun. It's not been fun for a while, to be honest.
Yeah, well, actually, you just sent a player out. This is a nice transition. You sold Albion Ayeti, didn't you, to Celtic? So,
which
Chris,
can,
what are you
can
looking,
I, can I just
what
say,
are you looking
by the
forward
way,
to? With,
oh. He was with us for a year, didn't score a single goal, and then he scores a goal in his second game in Scotland. So I'm not sure what that says about...
We had a first game.
God. I mean,
first game.
His full debut, right?
In the league, yeah.
He had a frightening goal-scoring record in Switzerland, though. Chris, how do you feel about Ayeti's ability to carry the attack once Edouard inevitably leaves this summer for a much bigger and better club?
Yeah, I don't think you can... I feel like Mike, what he was working towards there was either it's like a backhanded compliments of sorts. It was either like Scottish football and Ayeti scored already, or but my take on it is actually that's precisely the move, the sort of move that I want to see Celtic make. Someone's value who's depreciated, and it's not necessarily a reflection of their ability. It's his parents' club's inability to get him into the side.
Don't get me wrong. I don't want Ayeti to do well at Celtic. It's just he didn't have the opportunity.
Those players are going
to fall. It got to the point where when we brought him on, it was obvious we were being desperate. You know, I want him to do. I'm happy he scored in his first game, but it is also a little bit.
Those sort of players will fall between the cracks, and that is where I think we will find Edouard's replacement, and hopefully Ayeti can be that player. I think there is a magic number on Edouard's head. I think if someone came in with sort of 35 to 40, he would go this season, regardless of, you know, Celtic gunning for 10 titles in a row, which has become the holy grail to all the fans. And I think Edouard will be extremely good wherever he goes. But I think that's it's been smart business. And Shane Duffy's apparently arriving from Brighton as well.
I had heard one link for West Ham, and that was actually Shane Duffy. And
I mean, you'll probably offer him 100 grand. At the 11th hour of the window, and it'll probably go to you because, you know, it's an offer he can't, too good to refuse. But
competing with Celtic for a player who Brighton are no longer keen to have.
They've got about 8 quality centre-halves, though, haven't they, Brighton? So, again, fine. Good little area to target.
Yeah. Great. well, thank you very much for joining me on the podcast today, guys. And I've really enjoyed the Champions League, but I am glad that now there is going to be a little bit of downtime, even if it is only 2 or 3 weeks before the season starts. Chris, is there anything that you'd like us to plug?
Keep your eyes peeled for One-on-One on Eurofootball Daily. We're going to carry on doing that every 2 weeks. And we actually have a new show called The Reaction coming up. Zach did one for the Champions League. Bless him, it went up at midnight, so you might not have seen it yet. Go back and watch it. It makes a very good fist of it for a first episode, and we're just hoping to be a bit more reactive on Football Daily as the season starts again, I guess, which is imminent.
Mike, anything to
subscribe
plug?
Subscribe to this channel, Football Daily Podcast, if you haven't already, because here's a fact for you: most people that watch it, I can't remember the exact figure, but most people that watch these videos aren't subscribed. We're getting more views per video than we have subscribers. So if you're still watching this at this point and you haven't subscribed yet, what are you doing?
That's mental. Imagine making it to the 50th minute and not having subscribed. Sociopaths.
Yeah, and we try and put up a little clip every weekend as well, sort of 5-6 minutes of a little bit of an old podcast. Stick around for some of that, and you know, we'll keep the weekly podcast coming, and maybe a few more in the pipeline as well.
Great. Well, thanks very much, guys. And thank you to you for watching or listening. As everybody said, make sure that you subscribe to the Football Daily Podcast channel or subscribe to us on whichever podcast app you use. Overcast, Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, I don't know, whatever. Just just get it in your ears somehow. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.